wonderful to see you. As Ruth said, my name's Steve. If you're new here, or we haven't met before, I'm on team here. And it is my great pleasure and privilege to be speaking this morning on this topic of on the character, the person of Gideon in the Bible. We, at the beginning of the year, as a church, we had our everybody. That was the thing that kept coming back to us as a team here, as we reflected on where God was calling us, the things that he was saying to us as a church body was that God is calling everybody. It's for everybody to be involved. We are a family together, and we do his work together. And I think, if I'm right, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but my sense as I was reading the story of Gideon, and his experience of being called by God. God appears to him and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And I read his response, and I think actually I wonder how many of us feel a bit like Gideon. Because we read in this story, it was quite a long passage we just had heard read to us. But we read the story, we get the context of where Gideon is coming from. And we have the story of his people. So we read, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. "I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. And I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land." This is like the family story of Gideon. This is where he's come from. But what we also read in his experience of that faith story, that inheritance that has been passed on to him from generation to generation, this is what the Lord says: "Did I not deliver you from Egypt?" And Gideon says, "Where are all these wonders that we have heard our ancestors speak about? Where are they? I haven't seen them." He said, "I've heard, people have told me that this is true, but I've not seen it. Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?'" This was like the family motto for the Jewish people. "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" They used it to say, if the Lord could bring us up out of Egypt, the Lord can do anything. We were a servant people. We were slaves. We had no power. We had no way out. We were totally, totally crushed. It was impossible for us to escape on our own. But the Lord brought us up out of Egypt. And if he could do that against the might of Pharaoh, he can do anything. And this family motto was repeated generation to generation to generation. "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" But there has evidently come a point in Gideon's life, in the life of his family, in the life of his tribe, his clan, where they've begun to say amongst themselves, where are all these wonders that we've heard of? Where have they gone? And I wonder this morning, what is your story of faith that you've come with this morning? We all have one. Whether you've been a Christian 80 years or 8 days, whether you've known Jesus your whole life or you're just beginning to hear about him and you're sort of intrigued, you want to know a bit more about this man, Jesus. We all have a story of faith. What's brought us to this point? But I think a lot of us, alongside Gideon, might think, I don't think God calls people like me. I've often felt a little bit more like, it's more likely that I'm going to be called, to remind me that I need to put my car into the garage for a service, or because there's this fantastic new offer on replacement double glazing. I get those sorts of calls quite regularly. But a call from God. Does God really want someone like me? No, not me. No, there are other people who are much more equipped, much more gifted, much better with people or much more eloquent. God doesn't want me. But actually, as we read this story of Gideon, and actually, as we read the whole history of God and his interactions with us, human beings, what we see is that the Bible is actually full of unlikely characters. It's full of people who discounted themselves, who never would have thought God would choose them to work through them. We have Moses, who was incredibly insecure. Aaron, his brother, was a people pleaser. Jacob was a serial con man and liar. King David, well, let's just say King David had self-control issues. We can leave it there. And that even the disciples, Jesus hated, never had no particular status within society. Nobody paid attention to the people who became Jesus' closest followers. Because this has always been the way with God. It's always been the way with God. So I wonder, what is your faith story that you're coming with today? What is your faith story? Because for Gideon, I want to suggest that he is, as he's met by God, he is extended this call in a very unlikely way, a very unexpected way. By God's unpredictable word, I want to suggest also that he is God's unexpected choice, and that he also receives God's undeserved grace. And I think Gideon has a lot to tell us about our call, what God is asking us to do here, now, in our lives, day to day. So first of all, I think Gideon is confronted by God's unpredictable word. We've already heard it said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Actually, in context, that seems a bit ridiculous. Because Gideon is hiding in a wine press threshing wheat to keep it from the Midianites. Gideon is a man who has grown and lived a life of fear. All his life, he's experienced this. And it says, at the very beginning of the passage, it says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. This story is found in the book of Judges, and if you're not familiar with it, it tells the story of year after year, generation after generation, how the Israelite people experience oppression from another people group who turn up and treat them badly or steal their food or their land, or they are dealt with harshly. And just as we read here in verse 7, they cried out to the Lord because of these people who are treating them badly. And so the book of Judges tells a story of how God raises up somebody to save them, someone like Gideon. And that person brings them back to God, and they are freed, and God liberates them. But then they fall back away from God, and they find themselves back in the same circumstance. Like, the book of Judges is like a cycle on repeat of forgetting God, and then calling on God again, asking him to remember his faithfulness. God remembers his faithfulness, restores them, redeems them, frees them, and then they fall away and forget again. And it's, in fact, actually, it's a little bit like a downward spiral, because it kind of gets worse and worse each time. And so Gideon has experienced this, and he's experienced 7 years of Midianite oppression. And so he's hiding. He's learnt fear. He's learnt to be afraid. And God appears to him, the angel of the Lord, it says, appears to Gideon and says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And can sort of imagine him kind of looking over his shoulder and thinking, well, I don't see a mighty warrior around. You can't mean me. I'm just hiding here because if I thresh my wheat anywhere else, the Midianites will find me and they'll take my food away. Gideon doesn't see himself as a mighty warrior. He just sees the thing in front of him. But God, this is the thing about God's unpredictable word. God sees Gideon, and he sees who he really is. And God speaks that to him. God tells him who he is. And I don't know if you've ever had, you've ever felt God say something to you about who you are, what gift he's given you, or how he's asking you to serve him. I never thought, oh gosh, no, that doesn't sound right. No, not me. That's not me. I remember one of the first times someone said to me, as we were praying together, and they said, oh, Steve, I feel like God's saying to you, you are a strong man of faith. And I couldn't have felt further removed from the truth at the point in time when they shared that with me. And I just thought, it was like, thanks, but no, actually, no, I think that was probably for somebody else. Try someone further down. You know, I said, no, that can't be it. But what happens is God sees our hearts. In fact, a bit later on in the Bible, we read when King David was being chosen as the next king of Israel, God says this. He says, do not consider appearance or height, for the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, God saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself. And he called it out of him. He said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And actually, as we read through the story of Gideon, what we discover is that there is a mighty warrior inside of him. That is part of who he is. He does have that capacity. The question that ultimately is put to Gideon is, will you be a mighty warrior for God or for yourself? You see, because God calls it out of him and he says, you are a mighty warrior. You don't feel like one yet, but you are. That is inside of you because I created you and I know who I made you to be. I know how I fashioned you. But what I want you to do is first realize it and act upon it. But I want you to be a mighty warrior for me. I want you to be a mighty warrior for me. So it begins with a call. God has work for Gideon to do. Something that Gideon could never have imagined. And I wonder, do you have a sense of what God's call on you might be? Do you have a sense of what God is asking from you? What is the word or the name that God has spoken over you? It may not be mighty warrior. It might be something else. It might be compassionate heart. It might be faithful one. It might be prayer. It might be any number of things. What is the thing that God has called you to at this time? I remember for me, it took a long time for me to come to terms with this idea that perhaps God was calling me to do this, to work in the church. I found that very hard and I ran away from that. I tried to hide from that for a long time. But actually, that's not what this is about. This is not the only expression of calling, what I'm doing. Actually, God is calling us to be his hands and feet out in the world. That is actually a greater calling. That is much more important. That is much more important. And he has a way for each of us to do that, to live that out. And what we see is Gideon tries to push back on God's call in two different ways. I want to suggest the first thing he does is he challenges or questions God's character. Because you notice when God greets him and he says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He puts this call on Gideon. He says, this is who you are. And although I think Gideon was thinking, well, I'm here. I think you've got the wrong person. And why has all this happened to us? Why has this happened? You see, Gideon and presumably his whole family had lost heart. Their circumstances had discouraged them. They had lost their faith in God's ability to deliver them. They knew the traditions. They knew the stories. They'd heard what God had done previously. But they'd given up on those things actually being true. They were just stories. They were just things that people said that sounded good, but they just didn't believe that it was possible now. I don't know whether maybe that speaks to you this morning. Maybe you feel a bit like that. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? So Gideon first starts off questioning God's character, questioning God's faithfulness. He says, we've heard them say, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But I don't see it happening in front of me. I don't see that being true. And actually, I think the way that God responds to Gideon is incredibly gracious, because as I said, as we look back through the story, we see time and time again the faithfulness of God to the Israelite people. And I think if I'd been God, I might have been tempted to say, oh, you think I abandoned you? But he doesn't. What God says is, go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? He just affirms him again. And he says, I'm with you. Am I not sending you? It's like when Moses is feeling challenged by the call, and he doesn't feel confident. He doesn't think he's got it. And he says, oh, but Lord, you can't send me. I can't lead the people out of Egypt because I can't speak. I'm not very eloquent. I'm not good with words. And God's response to him is, well, Moses, didn't I make your mouth? Am I not able to give you the words? And he says the same thing to Gideon. He says, am I not sending you? Go in the strength that you have. You see, because Gideon was God's unexpected choice. He says it himself. I think he's actually an unexpected choice in two ways, and Gideon picks up one of them. He says, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I am the least. So he's like, I'm the smallest person. I'm the most insignificant person in a pretty insignificant corner of my family, which is a pretty insignificant tribe in the vastness of Israel. Not me. I don't think you mean me. You meant somebody else. You meant somebody else. This. As we read through the stories of how God has worked in human history, God has always been picking the unexpected person. Because it's not about the person. It's not about what they bring. It's not about what they can accomplish. This isn't self-fulfillment. It's not, it's not suddenly discovering that you were a superhero all along. It's about the fact that God is able. God made us. God created us. He put gifts and skills in your heart and in your hands. And he's placed you in a community and amongst a people who you can meet and whose lives you can speak into. And he can prepare and he can equip. So Gideon feels like he's too insignificant. He's too small. He's used to being the sort of runt that nobody really pays much attention to. But God says, no, I see you and I value you and I love you. And you know what? You are mighty in my kingdom. If you stick with me, you will be mighty. But I think actually, Gideon, another way that we can see this is actually God isn't... I think sometimes we can be tempted to think that God might, maybe, sometimes we're a bit tentative about this, we think maybe God would use me if I was holier, or if I was a better prayer, or if I knew more of my Bible, or when I am a bit more established, or I'm a bit, you know, whatever it is. We think, once God has improved me a bit more, then he's going to call me. Because I'll be ready then. But actually what God says is, go in the strength you have. Go in the strength that you have. You see, God's only asking Gideon for what he actually has right now, or at that time. He wants us as we are, not as we wish that we were. And I think that's certainly, I've experienced that in my life. I've been tempted to think, oh, well, eventually I will get to the point where I feel sort of established enough in my faith and in my life, and things are going to be going nicely and we're going to be breezing along. And then God's going to come in and be like, Steve, mighty warrior, or, you know, whatever the descriptor is. But that's not it. God says, I want you now, as you are, with all your flaws and all your failings and all your vulnerabilities, all your brokenness and your mess and your questions. I want you now, as you are, with the things I've given you, because isn't it me who's sending you? It's about the Holy One of God. Like, it's the Sovereign Lord, the one who made us and who created us and formed us and fashioned us, placed those gifts inside of us. And he says, I want you. I want you to say yes. I want you to come with me. And I want you, I'm sending you out to bring light and peace and liberation to people. That's what he's saying. Because he brings the rest. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he talks about this dynamic. He says it this way. He says in one of his letters to the early church, he says, we have this treasure. This is God's grace and his calling, his salvation on our lives. This is all the good things he's given us, the blessings. We have this treasure, our salvation and our grace and the Holy Spirit, in jars of clay. Okay, this is something that is fragile and feels weak. And we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, because we think that once we get a bit strong, this treasure is in jars of clay because the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's not about us. We want the glory to look, I mean, I don't think there is a fear of this, but I don't want you to look at me and be like, oh, Steve's amazing. All these things he does. No, don't think that. Because the all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. Because actually what he's asking us to do is to trust him and to stick with him. I know the things that God has said to me, I am, apart from God's grace to me, I'm like smoke in the wind. I get blown around. I know that I can't stick it out. I can't do the things that God has asked me to do. I can't share my faith with my friends. I can't love my wife and my son the way I need to without his grace and without his forgiveness. I can't do it. I can't do any of the things that God's called me to on my own because I know what I'm like. I get selfish and I want things to be comfortable and cozy. Paul puts it another way, in the same way, in your weakness. So Paul says, I will boast all the more about my weakness. It's when we feel, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's not that I suddenly discover, oh, I was these things all along and I can go off and create my own thing. I need to stick with God. I need to stick with God. And I know that actually I really relate to Gideon. I relate to his experience. I relate to his fear and his anxiety about what's going to happen. And you can't trust me with this, surely, because I'm going to make a mess of it. And the hiding. And that was the same, has been the same for me, as God has slowly and gently brought me to the point of realizing that actually he's not asking me to become more able, although I am doing that over time. He's teaching me and leading me and fashioning me and renewing me and transforming me. But that's not the point. The point isn't that I become less unable, it's that I realize that he is able and he does it and he shows up when I ask him to. He's faithful. He wants me to keep looking to him because then I will remember always that it is him. He is there. He's asking me to trust him and to stay close to him. And I wonder just as we were worshiping earlier, I felt this, that little phrase from the song, the new song we were singing, let hope arise, let hope arise. I felt like God's message, God's word to me this morning was, let hope arise. You know, for the Jewish people, the phrase was, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? For us, because of Jesus, it is death is overcome. God has already won. God has already won the victory. And I know that sometimes in the way I live my life, I know that that is true, but I don't live as if it's true. I don't always interact with people as if that's true or approach things in my life as if that's true. We are a forgiven people. We were bought at a price, filled with the Spirit, and we are sent out into the world to be Jesus' hands and feet in the communities that we've been placed in and with the friendship groups we've been given and our work colleagues, our family, because we want to see kingdoms God's kingdom come. That is our call. And that is the greatest call, is to be involved in God's kingdom coming. And all of us receive God's grace. You know, in Gideon's time, a person might be raised up and they would do something for God. But because of Jesus, we are all invited. God's Spirit is available to all of us if we ask for it. Because of Jesus, we can all be involved by faith. We can ask God. I want to, just as I close, I just want to encourage you. If you've never had that sense of what is that word that God's, what is the thing that God is calling you? How is he asking me to use my gifts? I want to encourage you to ask him. Ask him. It can feel nerve-wracking. I remember the first time I ever asked God, what is it you want to say to me? And I was terrified. I was terrified of what he might say. But I want to encourage you to ask, and we'll have the prayer team out at the end, and they will very happily pray with anybody who wants a bit of someone to stand alongside them as they do that. But let's ask. And then let's try and do it. Let's try and do it. Trust that God is with us, that it is he who's sending us, and that together as a family we support one another and we stir up that faith so we don't lose heart. Because God is calling all of us. There are people who you know and who you'll meet who I can't reach them. And there are people that I'm being asked to speak to that you can't. It is only together. We're a body. We're called a body for a reason. This is God's call on us. So why don't we do that? Why don't we just take some time and ask God, where are you asking me? Where are you asking me to be? Where are you asking me to work? What are you asking me to do? And let's see what he says.